Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Samar. Today we're going to be talking about the Trump mob overtaking the Capitol. Of course, that's what everyone is talking about. What does it mean for our democracy and our country? How are other people covering it around the world? That and your phone calls. This is True Talk on WMNF. We'll be right back. ازعل وحسبك ايه اللي غصبك على العيشة دي واللي بقينا فيه ما تشيلش همي موجود نرمي ما تفوق يا عم انا همشي اقول في الشارع مبقاش يناسبك ازعل وحسبك ايه اللي غصبك على العيشة دي Welcome back to True Talk on WMNF 88.5. Happy New Year. It's a new year. It's a new day. Today is just 2 days after the January 6th, infamous January 6th joint session of Congress that was overrun by white extremists. Some people are calling them terrorists. Some people are calling them other things. They consider themselves patriots. What's happening to our country? And how is it being covered around the world? Samar and I will be speaking about that. I'm in the studio, but Samar is not. She'll be joining us by Skype, which I will activate now. Message says Summer is unavailable. So I hope you had a good new year and safe new year. Obviously, as safe as you can be under the circumstances. And with coronavirus, COVID-19, numbers still rising everywhere, and hospital beds are in short supply. And people are scared about the different variants that are coming out. So I hope people can get vaccinated fast enough. But when I talk to people about, you know, are you getting vaccinated? Some people are saying, oh, we're going to have a wait and see type approach. I'm not sure how you feel about it. Maybe I'll ask my co-host about that. Hello, Summer, are you there?
Yes, Ahmed, can you hear me?
I do, but I'm not sure if there's a little feedback or echo happening. Do you hear that or not? Do you have your headphones on or you're using your speakerphone?
I have a USB device that should be okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you fine, but sometimes I just hear my own voice, but it's fine. Summer, are you going to get vaccinated before we talk about the topic of the day?
I don't think so. My husband was vaccinated, and he is still waiting for the second shot to take. The hospital told them that there isn't enough vaccination for us, like the wives of the doctors who are vulnerable to the virus. They said not before a few weeks, if not months.
But I'm saying when it becomes available to you, you will take it.
No, I'll be waiting to see if there is any reaction and side effects on
what? Are you one of these anti-vaxxers that are against vaccination? What are you worried about?
No, because I am almost in seclusion. I don't see anybody. I only go to buy grocery. So there are many people who are like my mom should take it before me. My brother should take it before me. Half of my family should take it before me because they are vulnerable and older. My mom is, of course, over 65. My brother is diabetic. So I am thinking, why should I take it if I am being extremely careful? Why not let other people take it? I would prefer to see my family take my spot.
Okay, take your spot, but are you, you know, going to be following their progress as guinea pigs to see how they react to it before you decide, or you're just allowing them to take it first?
I'm allowing them to take it first. But of course, eventually I'll have to take it because that's, I think, the only way for me to be able to travel, especially if I want to go to countries, for instance, like Egypt, where my family is living there and I have not seen them in more than a year. And I do not trust the health system there. So if really I want to risk and go travel to Egypt, for instance, I have to take it.
Right. Okay. But as of now, airlines are not and countries are not requiring vaccination for travel, but some are saying that that may become the law. Summer, we want to talk about what happened on January 6th at the joint session of Congress to ratify the Electoral College votes. And as everyone has learned, and, you know, in this past few weeks, the whole country has been learning and getting a crash course on what the Electoral College is. I mean, we've always heard about it, but we never really paid attention to these different dates. But if you recall, you know, like maybe over a month ago, we had a show and I, you know, made it a point to talk about what I suspected was Trump's plan to, you know, reverse the election or take the election as people were celebrating. And I thought at the time, and even up until this week, people were underreacting and not taking it seriously. And whenever I raise doubts about, you know, what Trump's intentions are, what he was doing, people would say, oh, no, he's just doing it for money. He's doing it to, fire up his base. He's doing it for different reasons, but he doesn't really think he's going to try to stay in office. But we saw a different, you know, I mean, when it came to January 6th, people are now all of a sudden shocked. How did this happen? But they've been saying this all along, but just people didn't take it seriously. I mean, when did you start thinking that, hey, maybe that they're actually serious about staying in power or reversing the election?
Honestly, Ahmed, like you said, I never paid attention to any event that could happen on January 6th. Like in the 31 years I lived in the U.S., I never watched or followed the fact that the Congress has to ratify the election. So I didn't even know that there was an event, an important event, always every 4 years on January 6th. So if you let me begin by just saying that, and people would be asking me later on in the Arab world, what usually happens on January 6th? I really had no idea. I never followed it. I never paid attention to it because I thought it was a given. Once the night of elections, we find out who's the winner, or the second day, or even after a month, like what happened with Bush the second, I never paid attention because I assumed that once the election is called, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perception because that's what happens in all the other elections. But the reality is, when it comes to the presidential election, there's no national or Supreme Council for Elections or a committee on elections that acts as a referee to decide who actually won. The decision is made on election night by these media companies that make projections. And these are unofficial results that they simply say, you know, well, we project based on our, you know, statistics or research that this person won or that or this candidate won. Or the other way is one of the candidates has to concede. So the whole election process for president really hinders on and depends on the loser to actually concede the election. And unless they do that and they don't concede, then there are a lot of other issues that, that go into play. And Trump all along has said, and even on January 6th said, we'll never concede. He's not conceding this election. And that's how he was able to, that's why all these other dates became really important. And this whole idea that electoral college members in every state, they had also a deadline that they have to meet at all the states. I guess it was December 14th, where they cast their ballots of who won. So it's not a direct democracy where the people actually vote for the president. All these people go out and vote in all the states, and it's kind of a tradition, but it's not actually in the Constitution that these Electoral College members must vote in the same way. And there's all these loopholes within the Constitution itself, because it's so old, that the state assemblies or state delegations, like in Tallahassee, they can actually change who those electors are and replace them with different slates. So it's very unclear, and it allows for somebody like Trump, because it's never been attempted before, to use these loopholes to try to stay in power. And I just thought the Democrats were not taking it seriously enough. And then when they're putting out calls for a rally in Washington on January 6th on this important date, all really designed to block the ratification. Because imagine if they actually succeeded in holding the Capitol hostage and not allowing the members to come back into the chambers. Well, how can they ratify them? And, maybe they will use that to run out the clock. And then that, by the Constitution, then it gives Trump some sort of opening to be able to sue to say, Congress did not ratify, so he cannot be inaugurated. So it puts in so many other things. But were you surprised of how easy it was for these people to just walk into the Capitol?
Yes, I was extremely surprised that the police was surprised, and they never expected these people to march into the Capitol and force their way in. I mean, Ahmed, just imagine if it was you and I, if I was wearing a hijab and it was, for instance, a walk into the... Remember when we once attended, or I attended, a Palestinian event, and about maybe 500 people of us, young people, old people, from all walks of life, but many looked, let's say, Middle Eastern or had darker skin color, and many young girls had hijab. And we all took a photo at the steps of the Capitol. Right. So imagine if we just marched in, like all of a sudden, let's go in.
No, even on the steps of the Capitol, when we were taking photos, because I've been to Washington, quite often, and I've taken those photos with groups and stuff. And even if you step up on those steps, if you go too far up the steps, you right away you have officers coming down warning you to step off. There's no room for not cooperating. It seems like, and that's where a lot of people are, including President-elect Biden, had pointed out that the discrepancy or the difference of how the police or law enforcement in Washington itself treated these rioters, these extremists, white supremacists who came to the Capitol, the difference how they treated them with the Black Lives Matter protesters. And how they were prepared and how they used violence with the Black Lives Matter protesters throughout the summer, and how the Capitol was very heavily guarded. But for some reason, it's still in law enforcement. It's like embedded in their mind. I don't know if it's embedded in their mind or what, where they don't see these people as a threat, that they see them as somehow either not a threat or somehow that they are superior, that they don't need to be checked, that they could open the doors for them. Because in some of the cases, we saw some of the videos where law enforcement just got out of the way and just let the open the barriers for people to walk in.
opened the barriers, and I saw a footage last night, but I can't verify it. But I mean, it's very obvious what I'm watching. A police officer telling them to hurry and come in and come in. And another woman started, when she saw the policeman doing that, she started to scream to other people, come on, come on, let's go in, let's go in. Maybe this is why, maybe Ahmed, in the back of their mind, is that, okay, Black Lives Matter want to defund the police, but these white people support us and have flags, and they fly flags, the blue flags and Blue Lives Matter. So maybe they felt, you know, these people are us, these people are supportive of us. And they forgot for a split second the fact that your job is to protect the Capitol, your job is to protect the building and not allow it to be compromised, and to protect the people inside. So maybe this is, but Ahmed, for instance, people on Twitter in the Arab world, they were shocked at the difference. It's just black and white. It's truly black and white, because they were started to share images of the riot gear and how Washington itself, I mean, the same city, dealt with the riots or with the demonstrations of Black Lives
Matter. The peaceful demonstrators.
The gears they were carrying. There is a picture of the National Guard, and they are, I can't remember which, maybe the Capitol.
Yeah, they're on the steps of the Capitol guarding it. There's rows of them.
So, you know, because the whole time I write that there are differences, and people like find it very strange that I am always defensive of black and minorities in America, and they don't see me as a minority in America who is being threatened. So they wonder, why do I always, for instance, tweet about Black Lives Matter and the Me Too and all these issues and issues of minorities? But they never realize the discrepancy in how these people are treated. You have two groups of people who have an issue, who have a demand, a political demand, whether you approve of it or not, how they are dealt with in such stark differences. And I think yesterday or on Wednesday, they were able to see it.
Right.
And I want to talk, Ahmed, maybe after we remind our listeners that they are listening to my co-host, Ahmed Bidair, and I am Sama Jarrah, co-hosts of True Talk on WMNF 88.5 FM, and we have been doing this show for maybe 18 years, I'm not sure. But I want Ahmed to shift gears, if you want to, and talk about something that's so interesting, how the media have not found the word to use to describe the people who stormed the Capitol. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they couldn't decide. It kept shifting from protesters. For most of the day, even after they took over the Capitol, they were calling them protesters. These are Trump protesters. It wasn't until that night or the next day that they start calling them a mob. They never actually called them terrorists. Very few individuals called them terrorists, despite the fact that now we're learning that five people were killed, including a law enforcement officer, and many officers are still in critical condition, wounded and getting treated in hospitals. So these are the same people that are waving the Blue Lives Matter, and they uphold the police, and people are recognizing that this is not about upholding the police. That their praise for the police was not respect for their service, but rather that their praise for the police was because how they abuse and in some instances kill black people. And then that's why they're praising them. This still continues to be a issue about racism. Some people that went there were wearing this, shirts that say Civil War, January 6, 2021. I don't know if you've seen those. They came there prepared to start a civil war, and the civil war was fought in a lot of ways because of slavery and racism. So many years later, centuries later, we're still dealing with the same issue of racism.
Tell you why, I'll tell you why, Ahmed, and that's why I want to go back really, and maybe our listeners would like to send emails to dj@wmnf.org to discuss this, or if you want to take phone calls, Ahmed, I'm not sure if we have Frank or Patty helping us, but I want Ahmed to remind you.
Yes, we are taking phone calls, and you can call us at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663.
So give me a few minutes to explain why. And this really has to do with how the media is not capable of labeling what happened. So for instance, at the beginning, they said protesters. And then CNN for a while said anarchists, which I don't think is really descriptive of it. And then they use the word terrorist, which I know you may disagree with me. I still don't want to use the word terrorist, and I don't think it's applicable, because in the minds of viewers, terrorism is associated with Arabs and Muslims. But because also when you label somebody a terrorist, you take away the political grievance that might be driving this person to do something. But we can discuss this later on. Some people were wondering, who are these people? Okay, what were their demands? And what were they wearing? Some of them, Ahmed, were wearing the number 6M. And I was wondering, is this like a rifle? Is this a name of a machine gun? And it turns out it's 6 million Jews that they are celebrating that they were killed. There are people who were wearing T-shirts, Auschwitz camp. But then you saw the Israeli flag, and just today they identified Aaron Somostovsky or something, whose father is a judge in Brooklyn, who is a Zionist. So you have all these weird people getting together. But why, for instance, the media didn't say white supremacists? Why didn't they say white nationalists or Nazis or racists or fascists? Because they're white people. They're exactly like the people who are reading the news to us and discussing America for the past 200 years. They're white people, and they can't label other white people with these difficult labels that might wake up the society and realize it has always been a racist system and founded on the butchering of the natives of this country, then the abuse of the blacks, and the abuse now of Hispanics and minorities. So they don't want to label them with the fact that they are white supremacists. They are white people who do not want to see integration or cosmopolitan society, or people who are brown and darker in skin have rights that the same they do. So I think it's very important to study why media is so hesitant in labeling these people as fascists and white supremacists. I don't know if you agree with me and if the listeners agree with me.
I'm sure some people, you know, will agree with some, if not most, of the things you've said. We have an email coming in from an individual that says that, good morning, it's time for the American people to demand our elected leaders act to remove the dangerous threat of Donald J. Trump. Contact your representative, you know, your representative in Congress, and then your two senators today, and then three phone calls or emails is not a hardship for anyone. It's a good reminder that, you know, to contact your members of Congress to act and to voice your opinion. We have some folks that are calling in, and we'll try to bring them on. Let me... you did mention this, but something that I thought when they had the shot of the Capitol lawn from the side that faces towards the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Mall, I think that's what it's called. There was, you know, right in the center there, there was a Trump flag with an Israeli flag with it, and I kept thinking, like, you know. There might even be more than one Israeli flag there. And it just...
it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, because you still think that, okay, these are white supremacists that includes Also, Israelis who are a part of this, when some of these white supremacists that are part of this Trump coalition also are anti-Semitic and hate Jews. So how are they all united in this for the same thing?
They are united in hating Palestinians and in hating Arabs. So, you know, there is, I think, an English saying, I can't remember it, but it's like your enemy. What is it, Ahmed? I can't remember it. But anyways, like they're united in their hatred. But at the end of the day, they hate each other. Because as I told you, there is this guy, his name is Aaron. His father is a judge. A Democratic judge, by the way, and the father was the head of the Young Israel thing. And let me just go back. The guy is he's wearing again the Middle Ages fatigue, and then he's wearing the vest, says police, and he was wearing the shield. And there is a photo of him sitting on a chair under some. Probably a former U.S. president 100 or 150 years ago. And the father is Shlomo Mostovsky. Okay, so why on earth, how could Shlomo be standing next to a guy who has 6M on his T-shirt, 6 million Jews dead?
Yeah, I didn't see it. You're the only person that mentioned the 6M T-shirt.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true or not. No, I have to verify this.
I saw that, Ahmed. All these. You think I'm making things up?
Maybe 6 million Jews, they're honoring, saying never again that.
It's if you go and Google white supremacy.
I can't imagine that you'd have these two people, one that is celebrating the death of Jews, and then somebody.
Sorry, Ahmed. And there is a guy wearing Camp Auschwitz.
Okay, they could also be seen that they are reminding people that they don't want another Camp Auschwitz, not promoting Camp Auschwitz.
No. So. Yeah, I know. Do you think I, out of my brilliant mind, I came up with these conclusions? I read.
Oh, you read about them. Okay. Can I just take.
For instance, people who are experts on white supremacy, and some of these people are Jews themselves who wrote on Twitter articles, and one of it was republished in New York Times explaining the insignia. Because these things matter. These things tell you
of
who
course.
These people are. Like, for instance, you just gave me an example how they had T-shirts that said January 6, 2021, Civil War.
Right.
So they do mean to wear these things. So, for instance, a number of Jews who don't like white supremacy went to Twitter and explained the insignia that was worn by these people.
Got it. Now I'm going to take some phone calls. So, Sister Julie from Tampa, go ahead. You're on True Talk. Sister Julie from Tampa, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. My thoughts on the whole thing is I cannot get caught up in this insanity and fear. I just want to say I want to praise the people who did not storm the Capitol. And I am saddened by the loss of innocent lives. I have to say my opinion is that I think that the people that are participating in this are being fed different information than the rest of us rational people in the world. I don't know how that's happened, but I know them. I've talked to some personally that support the old administration that's leaving, the current one leaving. And the way they talk, I hear things that are just absurd. It's some kind of, I don't know the term for it, like mob, I don't know.
Mob mentality or they live in an alternate reality with,
exactly. So basically, this has happened before in history where an entire community got so fear-based that they started attacking innocent people, and we've seen this I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen it over and over. It is shocking. I think that the people, Congress, they got reality hit in their face. And all I need to say about what I'm clinging to, the verse I'm clinging to is from my religion, verily after hardship comes ease. So I'm looking forward to change in a positive direction.
Thank you, Sister Julie. There are people out there that actually really believe in this. I remember I was in, I took an Uber like maybe a month ago. I don't take Uber a lot now, but, you know, I had to wear my mask. And the Uber driver was, and it was before the December 14th Electoral College vote, and when some of these lawsuits were out there, and the driver was really excited about one lawsuit. And he was saying that, do you see this judge accepted this lawsuit, and this is, you know. And he, again, was saying all these things about how Trump is, the election is stolen from him, and he believed these things. Of course, I tried to reason with him, but I don't know. There is a segment, you know, the 70 million or the record number of people that voted for Trump, many of them believe this stuff, and that's almost half the country. So are we in some sort of trouble if such a large segment of the population actually believes these things?
But we don't know if many of these people changed their minds after what happened on Wednesday, because my neighbor, for instance, called me and said, a friend of mine, sorry, on her street, which is a very fancy area and very rich area where I live, and she said, Summer, they removed all the Trump signs, the neighbors, immediately. Like, they've always been there. They removed it. So she said, it doesn't mean, Ahmed, not everybody who supports Trump is a bad person. The guy who laid the bricks in my house and fixed it to me, he was such a nice human being. And he said, I don't want to be communist. Of course, I don't think the guy knows what is communism or socialism. He said, you know, I'm 65 and I love everybody. And I gave him an ish zatar, by the way, because he was dying to know what kind of breakfast I'm having. And
Manaish za'atar is a flatbread that you put the za'atars, like herbs and spices, which is well known.
Thyme.
Yeah, it's like a thyme mix of
sesame and olive oil.
Right, and then you put it on the bread and you bake it, and then it comes out tasting yummy. So that's what you gave him.
So he started, Ahmed, asking me, where are you from? I said, I am somebody who you are supposed to. And oh my gosh, you are a Muslim. So I thought, okay, Muslim is not a country, but like that's what he told me. And with a beautiful big
so you told him I'm someone who you're supposed to hate, and right away he guessed Muslim.
Didn't take a split second.
So he already knows who he's supposed to hate.
Yeah. But then he couldn't, of course, figure out where I'm from, because he told me, you're not Puerto Rican, are you? And I'm thinking, okay.
You can actually look like Puerto Rican. I mean, you could.
Yeah, but are like Puerto Ricans predominantly Muslim? He hates Muslims. Mm. But he looked at me and he couldn't, for the love of God, think of me as a Muslim woman. Because I don't wear a hijab, because maybe my house doesn't have a camel parked outside, or I don't live in a tent, or there is no desert in my yard. So the guy said, you're a Muslim, Puerto Rican, and then India. And then I said, okay, you know where Jesus Christ was born? And then like his eyes like grew, and I said, I am Palestinian. And he says, oh, I love all people.
The
guy is thinking of, he just told me, this is going to cost you $750. And he just told me I'm a Muslim.
Yeah, and he still took the Muslim money. Samar, you were saying that, and by the way, if you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. And this is Ahmed and Samar. We're talking, of course, about the January 6th insurrection, and people are calling it coup attempt, you know, whatever you want to call it. It obviously was undemocratic, and violence is never the answer. You mentioned some people that supported Trump that are now leaving him or abandoning him or changing their opinion about him, including people in his cabinet that are actually, leaving and resigning in protest, supposedly. Some people are actually noticing that a guy named Mecca on Twitter says sarcastically, "I applaud the brave enough. I applaud the people brave enough to leave the Trump administration now. It takes courage. After airline flights, I too have been known to unbuckle my seatbelt moments before the aircraft has, quote, come to a complete stop," end quote. So I have experienced this level of courage firsthand, meaning too little too late. The administration is coming to a complete stop, and now you want to show your courage and take off, you know, and leave the administration. Sure, so it shouldn't have taken what happened on January 6th for people to abandon Trump. Yeah. It shouldn't have gotten to that far, and now you're seeing people, react and criticize him. Some people are actually not criticizing him, and if you noticed, after the session, of course, was disrupted, and this was their whole agenda, was to disrupt the session where the ratification is happening, because there's no going back from that. That was their last effort to disrupt that and to try to stop it. But when they resumed the session late at night, the members of Congress, the over 100 of them, I forgot how many, I think 114 or more, and the senators that were objecting to some of these states, they didn't drop their objections. They continued anyway with the objections, and they had to break, and they had to vote on these objections in Pennsylvania. They had the objections in Michigan, and because there was no senator that signed on to the objection of Michigan, they didn't split up to discuss it, but they did for Pennsylvania. So despite all that, they continued. They didn't necessarily abandon, and they're trying to say, well, this is about election security. There are a lot of people in this country and within the Republican Party that helped Trump get to where he is and contributed, whether directly or indirectly, to what happened on January 6th. And unfortunately, they're not paying a price for that. And many of those people will continue to be members of Congress. They're not going to have to resign. They're not going to be pushed down. They're going to wait until the next election, and maybe by then the people will forget. But we have more people that are calling in, Samar, and if you don't mind, we'll take these calls. This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We especially want to hear from some of the women out there, because for some reason we don't get enough people calling that are women, and we want to make sure that that happens. So Mike from Sarasota, go ahead.
Hi, am I on the show?
Yes, you are. Go.
Great. I just want to say I'm Mike from Sarasota, and I'm a big supporter of your show. I listen to it frequently, and I'm certainly an anti-Zionist, and I'm certainly not I'm anti-Trump. But I have to call you out for something that you said this morning.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is, with this protest on January 6th, if you look at looking at the video, most of the protesters were legal and nonviolent. There was a minority, just like you'll find in any crowd, who got illegal and violent. But now you and Summer this morning, I heard you, you're trying to call all of them terrorists or whatever you want to call them. Now, here's the hot topic on that. What happens in Palestine, and you know this very well, is you'll have great organizations like Hamas who will have reasonable plans. And what do the Zionists do? They call them terrorists. And you rightly protest this. And I think I join with you in that protest. But now you're doing the same thing with all the protesters who showed up on January 6th. I don't agree with those protesters, but I don't think we can call all of them terrorists or criminals because of the actions of a minority, a significant minority, but it was a minority.
Well, I was referring to the ones that entered the Capitol. I mean, were they peaceful?
Absolutely not. No,
I was referring to.
Physically forceful. Okay, if you're going to
that's what I meant.
Way, then I would agree with you.
Yeah, the ones that took over the Capitol seemed to be. You know, I don't. The rest. Now, yeah. Summer wants to say something.
Yeah, I am totally against labeling them as terrorists. And I said that because terrorism is a very large description, and it means it takes away the grievances, the political grievances of
people. What political grievance did they have on January 6th other than they want Trump to be the president?
What they have a sense, whether we agree with them or not, Ahmed, but what they did is not terrorism, because when you label somebody as a terrorist, you cancel any attempt to discuss and explain and try to figure out why these people are this violent, or why these people find it that they have to march into the Capitol building and force their will. So I'm not saying that they are right or wrong. I'm saying that there has to be a discussion in this society and talk about white supremacy, and talk about entitlement, and talk about the fact that these people think that they are threatened by diversity. We need to understand to stop it.
Okay, thank you.
That's what I meant. I never labeled them as terrorists. On the contrary, I'm against labeling them as terrorists.
Mike, final word? We've got to go.
Well, and just respond to Summer. Even there, you can't broad brush label all those people as white supremacists until you actually have good evidence of that. Mm. Some of those people,
of course, may have been
misfed information. They may have believed that there was elections fraud. There may have been some elections fraud, but obviously we don't believe it was significant. So we have to be careful on how we label people.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
We never say everybody is. We're just talking about a few people.
Well, Summer, he did mention something that Mike mentioned that's kind of surprised me. He said Hamas is a great organization. I don't think Hamas is a great organization. I don't think you do either. But definitely they participated in an election there, and they were trying to, move away from violence. That's something that should be promoted, to try to get groups that were violent at some point to join the political process. But I was surprised that he said there. I thought that's what I heard. Did you hear that?
Not really. I heard the word Hamas, but I can't. By the way, Ahmed, not all the questions I can hear very clearly.
But we can hear you very clearly. Thank you.
Oh my gosh!
I'm going to go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on True Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a couple things there that I want to touch on. One is, I think a lot of those people probably are pretty good people, especially the ones that didn't come into the Capitol. And even like you're talking about with that guy in the taxi cab, that just reminds me, it's like it really seems like the issue is twofold. One is the conservative media that just feeds their audiences propaganda so they can push forward whatever agenda they want to push. And then the political leaders that back it up, that keep pushing that propaganda for their political purposes. That's really the heart of the issue to me. And if we can somehow, I don't want to say discredit, but show how inaccurate they are. But even that, I mean, I've tried showing people where they've lied, where they've misled, people that are, listen to the conservative media, and they just will not buy it. They just keep saying, well, you listen to that liberal stuff, it's all lies. And the other thing is, one of the things I always thought the definition of terrorism was for political purposes. You can't get your thing done through the normal political process, so you revert to these other means to do this. And I think in the modern day term, that's where it is. So it is, and it's been taken out of that, and people have used it for something like some are saying, where you call somebody a terrorist and now you can't talk about the political issue. Well, that's because I think they're taking it out of its original context and say, no, they do have a political grievance. That's why they're doing this. That's why they're acting like this. So let's get to the root of the problem, like Summer said.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the white supremacy. Get to the injustice in the system. Look at the root of the problem. Look at why these people are doing this.
I have to agree with him, Ahmed. Exactly. We need to talk about all these people in power, like Ted Cruz and Rubio, and all these people who were like, there is a footage of Ted Cruz just before the rally and just before storming the Capitol, how he is egging people to go into the Capitol and change and take over the elections and correct the wrongs. So these people have to be held accountable. And all of them now are abandoning ship and saying, oh, we don't approve of what happened and this is not right, blah, 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 blah. Just exactly like what Trump did, Ahmed. I wonder what people think of what he said. Like the same day he said, we love you people, you're great people. And then he's bad-mouthing them the next day. So all these politicians are to blame and they should be held accountable because not everybody, like the poor guy who came to fix the tiles in my house, is educated. I mean, right. He spent three different days with me, Ahmed. He now knows about Iraq and Iran. He knows about the Arab-Israeli conflict. I spent hours talking to him.
Was he there to put in the tiles or get education in the Middle East? That's why it took 3 days.
Yeah. No, but because he is sincerely a decent human being but has zero knowledge about 90% of the issues out there. And he told me, I just want to have a choice. I don't want to be socialist. I don't want to be communist. That's what he has been fed.
Okay, I know because of COVID-19, Summer, and you don't have these speaking engagements anymore, now you're giving them to the people that are coming to do labor at the house.
They were asking me, but Ahmed...
But okay, I just want to read from Jackie from New York. She sent a message. Could I read that, or you want to hold your thoughts?
No. Yeah, please.
Okay, Jackie from New York writes, great show as always, on point, on points made so far. There was a mix of views on the mob. An Atlantic writer called it a mass delusion event. I think white supremacy is a good overall description. And certainly anti-Semitism is included. The New York Times had a quote from one in the mob saying, you can just see Schumer is slimy. And Schumer, of course, referencing Senator Schumer, who is Jewish and about to become the majority Senate majority leader. In a text message that was sent... Summer is correct. On MSNBC last night, Lawrence O'Donnell explained how some of the people were wearing shirts that said 6MWE. So it wasn't just 6M, it's 6MWE, which stands for 6 million weren't enough. That's horrific. And he showed a photo of a man wearing one of these shirts, which also is obvious Proud Boys in black. And yellow colors and markings. So this is the Black Boys. And that's, of course, horrific T-shirts in Congress,
yeah,
right?
So terrible T-shirts.
It's yeah, so somebody else sent a picture. I hadn't seen it, but thank you to the callers that sent that in. Liz writes...
Ahmed, you remind me of my husband. I had to be verified and supported for you to believe me.
No, I believe you, but I just...
You had doubts
okay.
Because...
In journalism and in the media, unless you see it, you want to confirm from multiple sources. So
No. So you think I would come on air in the U.S.
No, I don't.
Without having verified my information like 1 million times? But that's a typical male...
That could mentality. Be. And sorry for... it was only out of surprise and shock that I was saying that. Liz says it's the responsibility of white people to educate other white people what white privilege and systematic racism is because we have grown up immersed in one view, and it's all pervasive in our culture. It takes a lot of courage and hard work to get outside this view. It comes from experiences with others of different appearance and cultures. Until we live, work, and play together, we will continue to suffer this. This is why True Talk and so many diverse shows on WMNF help break down these barriers. I'm grateful for your continued growth. As a result of listening to my brothers and sisters of all different backgrounds. That's Liz in Spring Hill. Thank you so much, Liz, for continuing to listen to our show. And that's why we do this show, Summer. I mean, we're trying to just do our part in this whole thing. And sometimes, most of the time we get it right. Sometimes we don't. And, and we have a dialogue about it. More people are writing in about this T-shirt slogan and everybody's saying Summer is right. Yes, I agree. It has been confirmed. Summer is right. Thank you for everyone that's calling
Friday.
In. Yeah. So I'm going to go to Eaton in Tampa. Eaton, you're on True Talk. Go ahead.
Good morning. Happy Friday. It's Eitan from Tampa.
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you for having me on. Wonderful show. Both of you are superstars. Good job out of both of you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
I want to say my connection with summer, being in the United States and living in different states. I'm a Jewish Israeli. And often, throughout my life living so far in the United States, people ask, what are you? Where are you from? I'll give you two examples. First time I lived in Miami, people thought I was Cuban. Orlando, people thought I was Puerto Rican. And I didn't feel necessary to explain who I am or where I'm from, so I didn't let their ignorance believe what they wanted. Served 14 years in the U.S. Army, plenty of ignorant people there asked me who I am or where I'm from. Go to the Middle East, in Israel, Egypt, and other places. There, many people thought I was a local there, and the European whites or the American whites, again, thought I was a citizen of those countries. Ignorance is bliss. It's disgusting also.
Thank you for that comment.
I'm not 10 people, Ahmed, and the caller. I didn't catch his name.
His name is Ethan.
But sometimes, Ethan, when I have time, I decided, I think a few years ago, why not make it into a teaching moment? But I never tell them where I am from immediately. I never answer this question, Ahmed. I like to see how people place me. But I know we don't have time, but maybe next week we have to discuss, Ahmed, something that upset so many people in third world countries and in the Arab world and in Muslim countries. For instance, the media started to say, this is Kabul. This is like being in Baghdad. This is like being in a banana country.
Somalia.
Banana Republic. Somalia. No! No, absolutely not. That's what I think about the media. You need to face this. This is America.
Yeah.
This is not Somalia. Somalia, all these people were invaded by us.
So I mean, they're trying to make it as if like all these backwards things that happen only happen over there in these backwards S-hole countries, as Trump had called those places.
Most people don't even know where these countries are on the map. So why do you label them as Baghdad? Baghdadis were invaded. 1 million of them were murdered.
Right.
Because of a lie that Bush told the people. So maybe next week we can discuss.
Well, maybe
that.
We can talk about that. We only have about 2 minutes left. This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5 and with Ahmed and Samar. Debbie writes, she sent a message saying, wow, everybody's making excuses for these people, you know, referring to the ones that took over the Capitol. I don't think I'm hearing any black folks. These people need to be held accountable, all of them. The ones leaving their posts are just trying to save their butts. Besides, they only have a few days left in office, meaning the people that are jumping ship from the Trump administration, they also need to be held accountable. Of course, people like Ted Cruz and all these individuals that have remained quiet, people within the Republican Party itself. DeMarco writes, there must be a Truth and Reconciliation Commission and accountability. Yeah. 350,000 plus of U.S. Dead, referring to the coronavirus death, and 70,000, including children, kidnapped and caged, are crimes against humanity. And every member of the Trump mob must be dragged before the World Court or a U.N. Human Rights Tribunal to pay for their atrocities. More messages. A lot of people are really passionate about this, Summer. And then one more. Doug says, thank you for your show. I know it's a drive to get there. And I like your and I like the show with or without comment time. It's nice to be able to thank you for the education. Thank you, Doug, for your message. Summer.
I'm glad Simon & Schuster canceled the book that was supposed to be published by Josh Hawley, the first guy who gives a fist to the demonstrators before walking into the Capitol, and still when he went in insisted on spreading all these and objecting. But I'm very happy that Simon & Schuster canceled his book. These people need to have to know that they have consequences. Just imagine, Ahmed, if a bunch of Muslims did that or a bunch of black people did that and they are wearing the T-shirt that has the insignia of their work. And they found out that there are 6 people who participated, went inside and bashed things, that they are legislators in different states.
Yeah, like 6 a guy, of them. For one of them was from West Virginia.
West Virginia and the different other states. So far, six of them are people who were elected into office.
And they took an oath to protect and the Constitution and follow the laws of the land. And obviously what was happening on January 6th was not
and
that.
And besides everything, the Capitol is one of the nicest buildings that I have seen.
Right. Like, Summer, we're out of time.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is True Talk on WMNF. NPR News is next. And after that, it's Rob Lori with the Radioactivity. He's in the studio today. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Wear your mask because it saves lives. And see you here, same time, same place, next Friday. Have a great weekend.